SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about not bet that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Smashing people into smithereens. Is that what we do here on Moneyline? Well, maybe so. It's Donnie and Kevin here. We got you for the next hour right here on the Sports Grid Network. A lot of NFL news floating around here, which includes a high ankle sprain for the Jacksonville Jaguars starting quarterback Trevor Lawrence after a game they had no business losing and ended up losing that football game because it looks like maybe Mike Brown, owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, is figuring out a way to cancel Joe Burrow's future contract. Because why pay Joe Burrow when you have an unbelievable quarterback right behind him, Kevin? How about that?
Oh, man. No, that was good. I got to tell you, man, I don't even know what to do with that. I'll be honest with you, folks. I am one of, you know, not many people are out there still in Survivor. And if you are in Survivor at this point in time, you had the Jacksonville Jaguars left. You only had one decision, and that was to use the Jags. And, yeah, you know, if you wanted, you could have started to do some hedging and play Bengals money line, but that can be a tricky slope to start hedging within the Survivor pool. It's not exactly what it's built upon, right, Donnie?
Yeah.
And, well, what do you know? The Jacksonville Jaguars lost. And let's be very clear. They did not lose that game because of the Trevor Lawrence injury. Oh, no, no, no. They lost that game because they allowed Jake Browning to have literally one of the best games any quarterback has had all season long.
As a backup even as well. I mean, he was making dot decisions out there. The football was moving. Mixon was eligible to get some yards downfield in the both run and passing game because of the passing game working, which included right out of the gate in the third quarter, dropping a dime on third down to Jamar Chase for a touchdown. And for me, my favorite prop bet of the night, 216.5 on Browning. I mean, that was just no sweat. Get out of town. Right away, knock that down. It was apparent. And then I had everything I needed come through except for Calvin Ridley, who I didn't see, but it looks like he had a big drop at the end of the first half, which would have covered that. I watched the entire second half as they didn't look his direction pretty much at all. And then I saw the hold on the line, and I said, oh, no, I hope they don't call this. And it was a 44-yard catch downfield for Calvin Ridley. The flag came out, which not only cost me a parlay, it cost the Jacksonville Jaguars the game.
And it was a bad call.
It wasn't a great call. Yeah, it wasn't a great call.
Well, no, that's kind of my point, I guess I should say, Donnie. Very rarely does holding get called, and is the reaction is like, oh, that's a bad. Like, usually with holding, because the idea is there's holding on every play, right? Who was it? Was it Hubbard? Whomever it was.
It was sold really well by the end.
James Harden-esque flop. That's what that was. That's what got that penalty. That wasn't some egregious. Again, Don, it was hardly a hold. Was he probably, again, to like, by the letter of the law? Perhaps. That's a horrendous, horrendous call by a referee who got completely fooled by a defensive end.
Yeah, tough scene last night, but where Cincinnati goes from here, I don't know if they make the playoffs, but they're certainly in the thick of it now, which is absolutely wild. And the question marks start to pop up here on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I actually like them this week, though. I was just doing a couple like looks of, you know, some of the lines looked a little bit off total-wise and side-wise. There's some bad rain and heavy wind in a lot of games this weekend. So I look at this game for the Jacksonville Jaguars as they head to take on the Browns. It's a 3-point line. The Browns are favored in this game. Maybe about 20-mile-an-hour winds. So if you're going to be with without your quarterback. Maybe that's the game you would want to be without your quarterback, because it's going to be more of a bump and grind, you know, 7-yard slant passes, handoff to your running back. And I know Trevor Lawrence does have some athletic ability to run around, but it's not as if saying, like, you know what, we got to face a team with a high octane offense in a dome. This might actually play to Jacksonville's favor. But now you start to look down the line, even in the odds. I put this in a Ravens perspective. The Ravens are a really good football team. They're about to get annihilated by their schedule. We'll see how tough they actually are. So when you're saying, like, teams that are eligible to get that number one seed, up until Trevor Lawrence getting injured and them losing last night, they win that game last night, it's not even like, hey, I wonder if they can do it. No. Jacksonville is absolutely at this main center table about a number one overall seed, which would be incredible. Not going to happen now.
Yeah, the issue for the Jags in that race, Donnie, is the same one Miami's facing, is that the Chiefs own the tiebreaker over them. So you have to keep the Chiefs at arm distance, which is obviously tough to do, because Kansas City, and it's not the thing with the Chiefs, and I know they've already got 4 losses this season, but the Chiefs' ability to run the table is always there, right?
Yeah.
And if KC does that, that would mean, well, Jacksonville obviously lost last night, but so then for Miami, Donnie, like, Miami has to then run the table. If the Chiefs run the table, you know, that's obviously
tough schedule for them too.
No doubt, final 3 games for Miami is where it really gets tricky for them. But forget the one seed, Donnie. I was a little surprised to see the strength of which the Jags are still booked as favorites in the AFC South. I mean, they have 2 teams legitimately hot on their tail.
Yeah.
I guess it's because there's some idea that Trevor Lawrence might play this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's good. I love that. Hey, by the way, high ankle sprain. That's just Doug Peterson saying, like, well, we'll leave the door open. He's not playing. And also keep in mind, yeah, you can play on a high ankle sprain, but if he can't move or get out of the way, what is the point of that?
Against Miles
Garrett.
That's
why he's going. Exactly. So you're talking about, like, the next 2 to 3. A high ankle sprain is a multiple-week injury for the player. Whether he comes back or not is a different story. But the chance to re-injure it and not be 100% is always going to be there. And if you can't protect yourself in the NFL, you are going to get hurt.
And their next 2 games are the Browns and the Ravens. C.J. Beathard is not winning those games, Donnie. I mean, he's just not.
No, he's not. He's not.
And if they lose their next 2, well, go pull up those schedules, right? I mean, Houston this week is laying 6 on the road against, who the hell's even starting for the Jets? I mean, that's not even something we've gotten into really yet this week. Whoever is starting for the Jets, right, is going to be going up against Houston. And the Colts, Donnie, now, I mean, in the all-time good luck spot in terms of for figuring out gambling, play the Bengals in Cincinnati. What are you supposed to do with that game? Like, is the Jake Browning prop going to be in the 250s?
I don't know where you go with him, because it's when you buy low, right, which is what I was doing, going like, all right, he came in against Baltimore. What did you want from that? And then I was like, well, there were signs of life in a low-scoring game. I never in a million years. Like, I actually thought, like, hey, you know what? I think he can get to 230, 240, so yeah. I'll take the 216. But if I would have known that he was just going to whip it all over the field and have, you know, go 8 of 8, even though it was only for like 3 yards to start the game, I was like, ooh, they're throwing the football and actually look good doing it. But then again, how can you not look good doing it when you have those weapons making plays all over the place for you, which included your running back? A lot of fun here and a pretty good NFL schedule this weekend. No longer are we looking at, like, oh, there's one good game all week long. We're going to get a couple, which includes a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get after it today. Yesterday, I was so close to having another monster night on Monday Night Football. Just didn't turn out my direction, but still, didn't really lose any money on that, so you move on. The reason I'm saying we move on, though, do we really? Thursday Night Football, NFL game, the prevailing line is 30 points, New England and Pittsburgh. And the funny part about it, somebody tweeted me last week, and said, you know, they have to put up like, hey, here's next Thursday night's game. And it was basically like, I don't even know who they showed for Pittsburgh, but it was a player. But New England, they just put a picture of Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, that's how low, like, the game. We can't even put anybody up there because, A, nobody would recognize them, and, B, we probably don't even know if they're playing. Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, Ezekiel Elliott, Ramondre Stevenson. Like, honestly, right now, if they put a picture of Ramondre Stevenson's headshot up there, nobody would even know who that guy is. Now, granted, he's not going to play because he has a high ankle sprain, but I... Like, you try to get, and again, I'm going to love this because you know how we roll. This game stinks, it stinks, it stinks, and I go, oh, hold on now. Zappi's 130 yards for his passing number. Mitchell Trubisky's 158. The wide receiver numbers on the Patriots are 12.5 across the board. Unbelievable it's going to be.
So, I will quickly just say on that graphic, that had to be an intentional move because you could have easily then just put Tomlin on the other side, Donnie.
Yeah.
Like another, you know, probably Hall of Fame head coach. Well, they're like, no. We're trying to make a statement here with this, right? Well, I don't understand. I don't know. Belichick going back and forth on quarterback seems like something he's willing to
do. He's just a bozo. That's all at this point.
But, Donnie, Mac is better than Bailey. Yes, I care about this because of a season-long wager that still is alive if Mac Jones gets back out there. He doesn't have to get back out there this week. Like, you know Bill still wants to win games. You know that. Because he's chasing, well, whose record is it, Don? Is it Don Shula for the most wins of all time, playoffs and regular season? And he doesn't have that many years left, Bill, in terms of coaching, right? So every game for him still matters. Put the better quarterback out there. Or try Malik Cunningham. Bailey Zappi should be the last thing that we have to watch with the New England Patriots.
Yeah, but here's the telltale sign. Use the same division. We'll go Jets and the Patriots this year. We watched Zach Wilson struggle every single week. Mm-hmm. And they kept saying, like, well, he'll be our quarterback next week. And you say to yourself, that's the stupidest thing ever. Anybody could be better. But when you think about it, they see these guys every day in practice and go, I can't go to Zach. Put Zappi in there. Like, Bill Belichick, if you just give him truth serum, we're like, look, I have to see this guy in practice every day. He doesn't know the playbook and can't make any throws, but you want to see him out here because he was beating down Division III football teams out there in college. He can't play. Malik Cunningham, give him a chance. Guys, there's a reason why every week we drop him and he clears waivers because nobody wants to pick him up. But yet you want him to be our starting quarterback to give us a kick. Same thing with the Jets. Hey, why is he starting? Oh, Simeon and Boyle. They still got to give Boyle a chance. Boyle played twice, and even though he's best friends with Aaron Rodgers, they cut him today because he's embarrassing. That's why Zach Wilson was starting. That's why Mac Jones is starting. Because even though what we see is like it can't get any worse, they're telling you through telepathic messaging, this guy stinks. I just can't tell you that here live.
I think the... Again, every situation is always different, right? Like, people who wanted Zach benched, Donnie, knew the answer behind it wasn't better. They're like, well, I don't know why, like, why did the Jets allow the answer to be Trevor Siemian or even Tim Boyle, right? Like, that was always a mess. But as far as the Patriots go, like, yes, people have wanted Mac benched. Bailey Zappi has been consistently cut by this team, right? And obviously, you know, Malik Cunningham, when Ian Rappaport tweets out about him, writes quarterback / wide receiver. Like, that lets you know everything that they think about quarterback Malik Cunningham.
By the way, did he play it all last week? Did he play? Was he active?
You know,
I don't even
question.
Know.
I didn't see a single highlight, but also I didn't see a single anything from that game.
Because I check in, I know, because, again, Zeke has destroyed his season-long number and is now going to be like the go feature back as like a... Because you know how Bill Belichick operates. Like Zeke's one of his guys. Like, Cam Newton stunk, but was still one of his guys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, Zeke, 35 carries? How's it sound this week? And he'll probably give him 35 carries on Thursday night, which is going to be incredible to watch. But what a disaster. Like, and we've seen bad offenses before. But the fact of the matter is, like, New England didn't even threaten the Chargers in that game. And the Chargers, vice versa, go, well, we don't have to do anything either. So I was like, wow, what a football game.
But I don't wonder. I'm just trying to quadruple check, Donnie, that I'm not, like, on an island here. Mac Jones is bad. He is a Hall of Fame-level quarterback compared to what they're trotting out there. Like, Mac Jones went to the playoffs. Mac Jones threw for 300 yards in week 1 against the Eagles. Bailey Zappi would need about 7 games before he'd do, like, what are we doing with this football team? It's not like Mac doesn't know the playbook.
They're deteriorating, like every single week with their skill positions. And also, the things that don't even make sense to me, right? Like, Juju Smith-Schuster was a viable NFL wide receiver for 7 or 8 years between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not talking about all pro level, but a solid wide receiver. Like, in that last game again, like, every week it's like, is he going to get 15 yards? Like, I don't know if it's Bill Belichick just signing guys who can't play anymore, which I don't know if that's the case. Hunter Henry, 2 catches, 15 yards. Like, your second highest leading receiver was Ezekiel Elliott with 40 yards. I just don't know if it's, they don't know what they're doing. The quarterback can't operate, or Bill Belichick actually plays under the notion, which might even be more truth than not, is we're going to have a game plan that's not going to turn the football over. The only way we know we can win is if we keep the other team to 10 or less and give us a shot. And I honestly believe there's truth to that. Because if you're an offensive coordinator, you're not going into the football game going, hey, you know what would be really cool if we just didn't do anything on offense and not turn the football over? That's like a direct, you know, shot from the head coach. Like, we've won games in the past where we didn't do anything on offense. Let's try it again. It just doesn't work. It didn't work. And hey, by the way, Chargers scored 6 points in that game. Before Sunday kickoff, Kevin, by the way, Chargers only get 6 today. You're like, oh, well, the Patriots, you know, 17-6. That's easy. Didn't even score.
They didn't cover.
I don't even know if they got in the red zone, did they?
God, the spread was 5.5. They gave up 6 and didn't cover.
Goodness. Did we miss any field goals? Like, did we even try? No, they didn't even get a field goal attempt. Jeez. Just look at their total stats again. And by the way, they did have the same amount of first downs as the Los Angeles Chargers, which is pretty comical as it is. They actually outgained the Chargers, 257 to 241.
Is Kellen Moore going to just end up like a quarterback's coach somewhere? Like, the Kellen Moore experiment has failed, I guess, huh?
Yeah, you could say that.
Because McCarthy's got Dallas cooking.
Yeah, and there's a point where you say with Kellen as well at this point, you can't say like, well, you know, some wide receivers are hurt and this and that, and Eckler got a high ankle sprain. You still have Justin Herbert. Like, you're still supposed to be able to manage football games, and I don't give him credit for winning 6-0. It's like, hey, man, that's, you know, the other team didn't have anything, and you just didn't turn it over. That's you don't do that with Justin Herbert. You would do that if it was Zappi versus Mitch, which is what we're going to see Thursday night. And by the way, on top of that, Zappi comes out today and goes, we've been told who the starting quarterback is, but I'm not going to say. It's up to, you know, Belichick to say. I'm like, this team is just horrendous, man. I almost want Belichick to stick around another 5 years just to get his head beat in and that record to get worse and worse away from Brady so we can just tear down that legacy. That's what I want.
His status truly is like the greatest coach of all time. It's like, it's pretty incredible that it got this bad. It really, really is.
No, it's a great point because you're not supposed to do that because, yes, he did have Brady and did coach him up to be one of the best. But when you're like the outlier is, what did you do before him? Absolutely nothing. What are you doing after him? Getting worse every year you get away from Brady, your team is getting worse, which means you can't pick the talent to keep up. And the NFL is designed for everybody to be the same, which means you're bad, you get high draft picks. You have the same amount of money to spend, and this is what he spent it on. 2-10 New England Patriots. About to be 2-11 come Thursday. Absolutely incredible. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday afternoon. A little Ohtani talk. Hot stove!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
LeBron James playing for a championship. We're going to get to that in just a little bit here. Because I believe there's only 2 games in the NBA tonight again?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk about them in just a little bit, the in-season tournament. But I just wanted to bring up Ohtani here and why Major League Baseball always has a problem. And I can say to this day, tongue-in-cheek, like, did they even announce the MVP yet? Who are the MVPs? Because they were without fanfare and nobody cares. Outside of week after Major League Baseball season, yes, it's Ohtani and...
I never saw the update that those guys won. Like, we
Ohtani
knew they won.
And Acuña.
I never even saw it.
But again, that's the whole point in it, because it's out of sight, out of mind. Hey, this is going to be great. No, it's not. Stupid. Nobody cares about it anymore. You might as well just give it away opening day. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. They did have a good season last year at this time. But the Ohtani sweepstakes have been the same for an entire year. We knew he wasn't going back to the Angels, which meant it's up to his agency to start making contacts, getting inroads with general managers, getting templates together on what the costs are going to be. But yet here we are, a month and a half outside of the Major League Baseball season. He's not signed yet, and all we're hearing is he likes this city or that city. There's a new suitor every day. You know, there's offers out there, but he's not done. And I always equate this as well. Regardless of when he signs, it's going to be a big deal. But if I'm a Major League Baseball team, I'm saying you will be signed by December 15th so we can have the biggest Christmas sale we've ever had in the history of the organization. Because let's just say if he is a Yankee, every young kid in the Bronx and across New York City that's a Yankee fan will have an Ohtani jersey under the tree just to start the spending spree that the Yankees would get from advertising and jersey sales. It always amazed me too, because I know it's a big deal when Bryce Harper came to Philadelphia, like a week before spring training ended, and I laughed going like, my goodness, the amount of opportunity the Phillies missed out on by signing him before Christmas to really cash in is amazing. Mm-hmm. This Ohtani thing, what, like, when does he get signed at this point? Is it just going to be mid-February when nobody cares anymore?
I mean, look, this isn't a bit, like, I don't care right now, and my team is potentially in the mix. Baseball is the dirt worst at this stuff. Like, there isn't a person alive who doesn't respect and admire what of a talent and unique player Shohei Ohtani is. And, I outside of Gabe tweeting about it on a daily basis because his two favorite teams seem to be the two front runners, who cares about this right now? I mean, there's no juice behind the Ohtani sweepstakes. And again, don't believe me? Ohtani, where's all the betting markets on Ohtani from the FanDuel Sportsbook or DraftKings? Where, that's what happens when stuff captivates people. That's what happens. We get juice everywhere. They find a way to make an odds board for you and give you something to talk about. We don't have that. We don't.
No, we don't. We don't. And how about this? We have this. I'm getting word from my sources that it's a shoe-in. The Lakers win tonight over the Suns because of the fear factor of maybe not as compelling basketball as we need in the in-season tournament. The Celtics got dropped yet, and here's the problem with the in-season tournament, which does make it a little bit fun. If it's all 70 games, the best teams will just wind up in Vegas. Mm-hmm. But now you're seeing it's not going to be the best teams, because on any given night anywhere, you can lose in the NBA. I actually think the Suns win tonight against the Lakers, but I'm apprehensive about the bet because I know the greater good is to get LeBron in Las Vegas for this in-season tournament. Help me out here.
So here's what I would say, though, right? The obvious dream scenario and what would have put, like, Adam Silver, Donnie, if he did this and in his first iteration got Celtics-Lakers as the in-season tournament file,
yes,
like, they would have said, hey, listen, you are commissioner for the rest of the NBA. As long as you live, thank you for everything you've done. You're the GOAT, right? But Boston lost because they were on the road. Do you know what I mean? Like, if that game was automatically in Vegas, or if that game was in Boston, I think there's a real chance the result is different. What we got last night is, and I'm going to take this chance to make this point again, something that you and I have talked about with the college football playoff, right? With allowing Alabama or Penn State or Michigan to host a playoff game. What you got last night is an Indiana Pacers playoff game. Playoff game in Indiana, Donnie. That's what that was. And it was an incredible atmosphere. And it was a bit of a difference maker, I thought, in the basketball game. So I know your point is, look, the ratings are better if LeBron is there and the Lakers are there. They are. The other side of it is Durant and Booker, though, right? It's not like they're sending the Rockets on the other side of this coin. Like, tonight's game is obviously fantastic. Giannis and Lillard are bigger stars than the Knicks, but it's also the Knicks, right? Tonight is the, you know, tonight's the prime time night for this in-season tournament, right? Tonight's the we can't go wrong night for this in-season tournament here. So,
and by the way,
I wouldn't bet based on that, but I'm just,
if we are looking to bet strategically unders in both games in Vegas, is that what we're looking at? guys going out the night before, living it up a little bit, having some fun. Because it sounds like, oh, no, there's NBA players are a different breed, and it's a different operation. Because in the NFL, you go on the road one time a week. You're on lockdown once you get to that city. NBA players aren't on lockdown in any city they go. And I'm not saying they just go to different cities and party. But it's almost like saying they did this correct. Because, Kevin, they could have put it in New York City. They could have put it in Miami, which they probably still would have partied anyway. But Vegas just has the different connotation. And if you are the New York Knicks, right, you live in the Northeast. You win this basketball game, like, hey, guys, I'm going to head to Vegas for the weekend, man. Like, this is motivation just to get there because, yeah, we want to win this. And, of course, the 500K is nice and the national stage. We all love that. But, man, we're going to stay at a five-star hotel and have the city to ourselves that week to just chill out. Like, I think that's a big thing. And, again, I'm not saying they are getting blitzed till 5 a.m. Like, hey, guys, we got a game today. Oh, I better sober up. I'm not saying that, but just the allure of you're not going to play in, like, Seattle for the weekend. You're going to Vegas.
Well, so last night they asked Brandon Ingram, like, hey, are you excited to go to Vegas? And, you know, it was interesting because they kind of made fun of Ernie for asking the question. Like, oh, what kind of question is that? Like, obviously he's excited. But Brandon Ingram was like, yeah, man, I love Vegas. Like, in a way. Like, Don, if he was going to Vegas before the NBA Finals, his response would not be, I love Vegas. It would be, look, man, I don't care. We could be playing this thing on Pluto. Yeah. Like, I'm going to try to win a championship. You know, it's a really interesting thing that I hadn't thought of. But, again, this tournament, Donnie, has been an undeniable success for the NBA in terms of effort level and care from fans to players alike. Well, all of a sudden, now, you just gave these guys a trip to Vegas. Think, you know what, dude? We win. Who cares? Like, we're out here. We're in Vegas. We're loving life. But, Donnie, they do care. I'll tell you what, $500,000 cares, man. You can tell these players are into the tournament. It's worked out.
I'm the casual NBA fan. Like, I had no idea what the scores were until we went live this morning. Like, I didn't check the scores one time because I'm just NFL focused. And that's why I just view myself as like the common man. But my comment last week was I actually thought, because I sort of gauge things like in my eye, like what would the average, like if I called my dad, he'd have no idea who was playing in the NBA, like in season tournament, but he would follow the Sixers. But my thought process was I actually thought for the first time ever, it's usually the fans that care way more than the players about anything. I actually think the players care more than the fans in this, the way it looks like it's playing out. Like not the buying in of it's win or go home, but you know when players don't care. Like if you said to the Celtics, the coach, like it gets out at the end of the game. Look, I'm not disgracing the game of basketball. Coach was telling me to go foul. Like that, we just don't do that. You know what I mean? If it means that we miss out by 5 points, we're just not going to like do that to the game of basketball. Like, no, they bought it and they fouled. Do you see what I mean? Like, NBA players are probably the harder, professional athletes, particularly NBA, because they have such a great union where they are the show, not the organization themselves. Like, if they basically said, look, I don't want to foul, like, you're not going to suspend Jason Tatum because he didn't want to stay in a game up 25 points and he's fouling guys and figuring he's embarrassed his friends, right? That's not the case, but they bought in. So for the first time, I felt like the players really cared about it where this, and again, I do think this tournament can succeed in a way because I think the NBA gets lost in college football playoffs and the NBA season and then, okay, hey, look at this. The NFL's winding down. Let's dig into college basketball and the NBA. There's something to that. The one thing they just have to change is it can't be a mathematical equation in this tournament. And the only way to do that is, Kevin, from day number one, just have, like, I don't know. You don't have to change the court and change the style. Hey, guys, the first 20 games of the NBA season are the tournament. Like, let's see who has the best record. The top 8 teams go, 6 teams go. And you never have to worry about, is this a tournament game? Is it not a tournament game? What are the tiebreakers of this? It would be so clear-cut that everybody would say, okay, we got to win 2 of the next 3 games to get in this thing, as opposed to, well, we got to win tonight, but hope these 4 teams lose. But if we win by 24 and they win by 22, we're going to go. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, I think the reality is, Donnie, no matter what the format is, we're always going to poo-poo on it and not really care about it. Because here's one of the main things that you had an issue with in the beginning of this, and I told you, you don't understand, your issue is why they're doing this. You're like, why are they doing this before Christmas? Nobody cares about basketball in November, December. And what they've done is made their product more meaningful in November, December. You may not care about it.
No, you're right. The hardcore NBA fan probably really enjoys this. But when I look at changes like this, it's trying to bring in the casual fan. And I don't know if it's because I'm the casual fan. Kevin, college basketball
Donnie,
is unbelievable in their matchups in the first 2 months
care
of the season.
In these months, Donnie. There's
correct.
No, Donnie.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm just using myself as the casual fan. I was never going to care. You can hold the NBA Finals in November, and I probably wouldn't tune in.
But that's the point. So Donnie, but that's again, you're an incredibly casual then at that point. Don't really.
Yes.
Like, you're only going to care when it's the only left available item. They're trying
college
to bring in others who can go double screen.
Is some of the most favorite theater I love. I can't stand college basketball. Hey Donnie, look at the Garden tonight. I won't check that score one time, and I'm not even working tonight. But once we hit January and February, I can't get enough of college basketball. Just the way it is. It's the way it goes. We'll be right back. It's Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's do it. In-season tournament NFL. How big would that be, Kevin? Eagles get knocked out by the Jets. Jets move on in the in-season tournament. They play a game in Las Vegas. Would you be excited for that? Like if you had an NFL in-season tournament game?
No, but you don't need to make the NFL's regular season in week
Wouldn't
five
it be better?
Matter more. I mean, they could do it, and people would care about it, and it'd be fine. But the NFL doesn't have... again, people like yourself have been complaining that NBA guys don't show up and care about early season games. The NBA immediately found a solution, and you're just like, well, I can't count to six, so I don't really know why we're doing this.
I like the in-season tournament is like bowl season, right, in college football. I'm like, fan bases will like it, that's in it. But outside of that, nobody's really paying attention, you know? I know you will because you love the NBA, but that's what I feel like bowl season equates that. Like, we got to jazz it up. And by the way, I'm just going to leave it at this. I'm going to get my way, Kevin. With how many years do you think that we don't have a true bowl season anymore? Like, we'll have a 2014 playoff, and then, like, Mac football goes to a bowl game. We just get a kick out of it.
That isn't something that we've really gotten into, is the expanded playoff. Like, next year, Donnie, we are getting a 12-team playoff. But
yes.
Here's the issue.
They're going to mess. It's already messed up, so.
Well, of course it's messed up, Donnie.
Yeah.
Because there's supposed to be auto bids for the conference champions,
so
but they lost a conference. Like, so is it fine now? Is the situation going to be that the Power Four are going to secure the buys, and then... Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't even know what the format now is because the Pac-12 is dead.
But again, it's not going to operate the way it's supposed to be. And by the way, the committee told us, straightforward, that winning a Power 5 conference championship doesn't really matter too much. It's the game that matters and who you play in that conference championship if you can beat them. So what I'm trying to say is, and I used this term earlier, like Ole Miss is going to be ranked 9th in the country, get left out because Liberty has to get an automatic bid into the championship.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like we're still going to be okay because we get the big bangers in there, but everybody's going to go like, why is Oregon favored by 21 against Liberty when, like, FSU, if they make it in, is going to have to play like Georgia? Like, it's still going to get people angry because I don't think the committee understands what their objective is. If it's a 12-team playoff, give the best 12 teams in there. Kevin, I don't even care, to be honest. If they went to there was no playoff committee. They go, there's a computer. He doesn't give a damn what you think. He doesn't go on what he just saw. He's going strictly by the numbers. And that's our 12 teams. I don't think we would get too much of an issue with it.
I mean, I think people probably like prefer the notion of a committee, right? But again, it's fine.
But the committee might be the wrong thing. I just think like the rules of it, right? Like, okay, well, Power 5 teams at all one got six in, but we have to have two. So Air Force is going to get in Liberty as opposed to Ole Miss and Clemson.
So let me see. Do you agree with me on this, Donnie? There's been a lot of people saying, why is Florida State 5 and Georgia 6? It's all about the best teams. And my answer to that has always been, because the second the committee puts the four teams in, they don't care about the order.
Correct.
They'll order them in any direction that they want. You agree with that, right?
Yes, I do.
Here's why I bring that up. If you look at this year, right? So assuming the top 11 get in, and then I think it would be Liberty, right? Oklahoma, Donnie, being left out for Penn State is completely unforgivable. Oklahoma beat Texas. Penn State beat nobody, right?
Yes.
So, somebody said, like, hey, what do you think they put Oklahoma in front of Penn State for? It didn't matter. They just did it to do it. Because it isn't, like, basically worthy of their time. That is actually going to be the tricky thing with this new field, is the committee having to care beyond the top eight teams that they rank. Because, truly, I don't think they've ever cared beyond who's getting in.
Which is always funny. Like, okay, number 24 in this poll. It's like, what's the point? Like, I don't even, like, just to say, we've got to fill 30 minutes. So you could put 24 teams in there. We'll just slot them anywhere we want at this point here. Let's get to the phone lines, 844-843-6879. The X-Man calling in here on a Tuesday, dropping some knowledge. What's up there, X-Man?
What's up, man? I think Florida State should have got left out because the strength of schedule in the ACC is horrible. But then you start talking about strength of schedules. The Big Ten is horrible, too. Big Ten is horrible.
Facts.
But you go with Michigan over Florida State. Both of them have horrible schedules. But Michigan will crush Florida State. Everybody knows. And now I got the picks of the day for you. We're going with UNC Tar Heels, money line.
Mm-hmm.
UNC.
Whoa, all right.
The Phoenix Suns. New York Rangers and Vancouver Canucks in regulation, 30-1.
Mm. 30-1. Good college. By the way, doubleheaders in the Garden tonight. Doubleheaders in the NBA. Don't get any better than that, K Dub.
I would actually, if I was like still in Queens and not working late, I would go to the Garden tonight.
You would like to go to the Garden tonight?
Yeah, UConn, USC. That's worth going for. That's great basketball. That's a great game.
By the way, is anybody talking about Miami versus Rutgers in the Pinstripe Bowl? Is anybody talking about that one?
Oh, is that what? Are you going to go? No. What percentage do you consider? What do you mean? Why not? You're a Miami fan.
I don't know. Seems cold, and I know. But here's the funny. Look, you just want information about that game, Kevin. The fact that, and again, here's bowl season in a nutshell. Miami practices in Coral Gables. Hey guys, we're going to the big city. 30 degrees. Get excited against Rutgers. Miami might get beat by 30 in that game against a Rutgers team that hasn't scored 30 points all year.
Yeah.
like try. And again, I'm already seeing like the Mario Cristobal. Yeah, we have a number of guys going pro. Our crew, Van Dyke is gone. We have a freshman that's hurt. These guys are going to have to actually wear long sleeves. I mean, what a mess this is. Like, it's kind of funny way it plays. Like, Miami's the worst bowl team of all time because I feel like unless they're playing in a BCS championship or college football playoff, it's like, we're going to Boise? Like, we're going to UTEP to play this game? It's kind of funny the way it actually figures.
Like, if they reached out to Rutgers, they're like, hey, listen, would you rather this game be the Pinstripe Bowl or you want to come play it down here? Right?
Yes.
And all the players would be like, man, get out of here. Like, let's get moving. Forget the home field pseudo-advantage because it'll obviously be far more Rutgers fans.
That's a good point. Like, Miami should host their own bowl game every year, like Hawaii used to do all the time, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, who's like, hey, man, we're going to play Hawaii in a bowl game? Where are we playing? That might be the best bowl game of the year, coach. Thank God we signed up for that one. Same thing with Miami, like, because maybe Miami would actually care, but I do think that is an element. Like, hey, Miami, you're going to play Iowa State in, like, Detroit. It's like, what?
Yeah,
what?
Come on, man.
We don't even want to go.
Well, this doesn't make any sense,
yes,
man. We don't
correct.
Want to be here.
It's 40-plus bowl games here. But by the way, there is some really good college basketball on tonight. And again, I don't, but like, KenPom numbers are starting to fill in, but it's not like versus like competition. Because every time you bring up a really good basketball team, it's like they're top 10 in the country in all categories. Why? Because they've slaughtered some lambs out there along the way. But UNC, and Connecticut is a very good basketball game tonight. I don't know which way it's going to go. I just picked UConn this morning just by some of the metrics that are coming out with how they defend in the low post and also how their scoring is inside the three-point arc. And anytime I get a game that's going to say, like, let's, you know, in the Garden or a big-time matchup on a neutral court, I usually look under and who doesn't really rely on three-point shots and who scores down low. That's just the way I went on that one. I don't necessarily know if UConn's going to win, but I just picked them to get the win in coverage just based on some small things.
Yeah, I'm going to dive into that game a little bit more when we get off here. I've enjoyed breaking down the college this season. Yesterday, I split my college bets. Sears just didn't have the volume I needed, but I got a Furman team total to come in. Because the one thing that I've done, Donnie, because I know you know the KenPom stuff that you use is obviously more advanced than what I do, but I'll just give, you know, for example, like Furman yesterday plays Arkansas, and Furman is top 100 in offense, top 30 in tempo, right? So then you just say, okay, well, have the Razorbacks played any comparable opponents? Just based on those kind of base level statistics there, and it at least gives you an entry point into it. Because you're right, it's like, oh, Kentucky's playing UNC Wilmington. Well, how does their game against Kansas help me? It probably doesn't, right? You got to be, you know, you can get a little more creative kind of with it on the college board. But I've enjoyed the college basketball early season. There's, I mean, basically, Donnie, you get now, I would say, and this is before conference action, 4-5 games a week we've been getting of ranked action. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, no, college basketball has really stepped up their game over the past 10 years in the silly season. Like, it used to be you would get a couple games, then they'd just, like, disappear, like, for, like, weeks on end in December, and then they would take off from, like, Christmas Day to New Year's, but you are getting games and games and games, and rightfully so, because, as in college football, it actually doesn't pay to play really good teams on your schedule. Right. In college basketball, you get rewarded in losses for those games. So it's something that you can always check into and just get a gauge for. But I actually really enjoy conference basketball play every night, different conference. You know, you can really get a feel on conference standings right now and, you know, where guys sit and who actually can shoot three-point shots and defend inside, not playing a low-level Division I team that still counts on your record and the statistics and all that stuff here. Now, I do want to spend a little bit of time here on this NBA action tonight. So, underdogs ruled the roost yesterday. West Coast, I was rooting for the Kings. I think the Kings are fun and exciting. You got a triple-double out of Sabonis. You got, I think, 30 out of the Aaron Fox, and you still lost that basketball game because the Pelicans were incredible. Same thing with watching Indiana. Indiana's a very fun brand of basketball. They won by scoring 37 points in the third quarter and fourth quarter last night to upend the Celtics.
That game went under, by the way.
I know, went under. Yep. 244, something like, what was that, 244 at game time?
245. I actually bet the under. It was remarkable.
Start 24-22 starts, like, dead in the water, and this is what, because I remember I was talking last night going, like, I wonder how these, like, games get played. Is it playoff, you know, under? Now, it wasn't under in that second game. They blasted the over, but it looked like in the very first quarter of the very first game, it's like, hold on. The Pacers go ham on everybody. They just scored 22, but it took them a little while to get going with that big-time second half. But you're right, still stayed under the total. I do like the Suns tonight. The Suns are a dog. Over 28.5 for me for Devin Booker tonight. I think he has a big game against the Lakers. But that's a pretty good game. Again, 10 o'clock, I'll be fast asleep watching that. Knicks-Bucks, also a good game. The one thing the NBA did right, though, is you don't have to worry about what the deal is. Last night, you had two games. You knew they were in-season tournament games. Tonight, you have two games. You know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Because if they would have did this, let's just put these two games in. We'll make sure one's primetime, 7:30, one's at 10 o'clock, but throw nine other NBA games in there. It'd be like, what are we actually doing here? So at least they got smart with that and said, you know what? Let's separate these games so people can just enjoy them in primetime as a standalone and you understand the stakes.
That is something that it's almost surprising they got right. And I already see the argument in the world where they get it wrong, Donnie, and there's eight other games. And you make the same point. But me, because I'm in defend mode, I'm like, no, you're being lazy. You can figure out which games are which. But you're right.
Yes.
You're right. If we tonight had Mavs Rockets and Spurs Blazers, it'd be like, I don't understand. What are the in-season tournament games? I don't get this. Why are these other games happening? And it makes the games feel bigger, Don. It does. So, again, the in-season tournament, fantastic.
There you go. And yes, and they would have put like, oh, the games in Vegas are a separate entity, but the NBA is going to have a full slate Saturday elsewhere. It would have been hilarious if they actually tried to do that. I'm actually surprised they didn't. One more segment to go on a Tuesday afternoon right here on Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here. Final segment of the Tuesday afternoon of Moneyline. Good doings in the NBA. A nice little Final Four type feel tonight. As two games here and two really good games on the horizon tonight to look forward to. The NFL, yeah, we're going to have Thursday, but I'm telling you guys, if you hold on, and by the way, how do we handle next Monday night with a doubleheader? Do we have split TVs? Like, what are we doing on that? Both start at the same time.
Wait.
8:15 and 8:15.
No, that can't be true.
Yeah, I knew you weren't paying attention, but yes, there's a
doubleheader. I knew there was a doubleheader, but I didn't.
On Monday Night Football, both at 8:15.
Why would they do that?
I love it.
I can't
even
wrap.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah,
I think it's
you,
fantastic.
The real problem is why don't they both start at 6:15, right? I mean, that's
true. Like, really, you probably should have had one at 5, one at 8:15, but that's another story at that point.
Wait,
but you got a double header on Monday. Like, I don't know where that crept in. Like, what was the need for that? Like, I want a double header every week. Just take me away from Thursday Night Football. But I don't know why there's a double header at the same time.
ESPN and ABC, or is one of them like an NFL Network deal?
I would imagine it's the same. It's the same broadcast company. How would you sell that? Hey, by the way, we bought the Monday Night package. Yeah, by the way, you're not going to get a full Monday night yourself.
We're giving random doubleheader away.
Correct.
Well, that's why I say NFL Network.
CW
right?
is going to get this one. Yeah, I don't.
Like,
think
I didn't
so.
Know if the There's NFL no Network's allowed to give themselves a game. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, but like it would one behind like a paywall. Like, how about the Amazon, just a random game behind a paywall? Like, they can't do that. I don't think
no,
they will.
You're probably right.
You got a 13.5 point spread in one game and a 7 in the other one. So it's not like we're expecting barn burners.
This is what I don't understand, though, Donnie, with games like that or TV networks. How viewership wise, like having two Monday night games on at the same time is better than one on two different channels? Aren't you just splitting viewers?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, sometimes I can't answer for the NFL. It's like, you know, I finally learned the wiseness of my ways about why they had the dish, because it was more profitable for them not to offer it, because then everybody would be split 16 different ways than watching the one game in your market where the advertisers are paying for, which doesn't make sense on the outside, but it makes sense on the inside here. Just this, the NBA does some quirky things. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Tony Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, thank you for tuning into a Tuesday edition of Moneyline. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.